If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Psalms, chapter number 37. Let's look in just a couple of verses of Scripture right here. Verse number 39 and verse number 40. And then I'm going to be preaching kind of all over the chapter. But I want to give these two verses for text this morning. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Here's where my text comes from. He is their strength in the time of trouble. What I'm going to be preaching on today is strength in the time of trouble. Strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them. How many believes we need God to help us? We need God to help us in our country. We need God to help us in our homes. We need God to help us in our schools. We need God to help us in our churches. Amen. Your pastor needs God to help him in his life. Amen. I'm glad we have a very present help. Amen. The Lord in our lives. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. And he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. You see, God's not on our side because we're somebody. God's on our side because we trust in him that is somebody. He's God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the blessed privilege to be here, to be in the service today with your precious people. God, I thank you today, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has already come. He's already ministering to hearts and to lives. And Lord, it's my prayer. If there be one among us that don't know you, oh God, today, would you just finger around that heart? Lord, would they maybe today be that trembling soul that would kneel at the cross? And Lord, I just pray now that you'll help me, God, that I might be a help. Bless our visitors today and bless our people. Bless those that are sick and can't be here today. God, just help us all to magnify the Lord. In Jesus' name and amen. Three simple things I want to share with you this morning in the message to find strength in the time of trouble. How many is aware enough of what's going on in the world to know we're in a time of trouble? America is seen right now on the world stage as anemic and weak. Amen. And I wish it wasn't that way. Amen. But I want you to know something. This thing's headed towards a one world currency. It's headed towards a one world government. Amen. We've got a book, say amen, that tells us, amen, that it's not going to get better and better, but things are going to wax worse and worse. And God's people are going to need strength to draw from, amen, in the time of trouble. You think about our lives, it just seems like we're children and we're kind of carefree. And the first thing you know, that first and second grade teacher is making us care about some things. Amen. And then the first thing you know, mom and dad is making us care about them things that we carry home called report cards. Amen. And the first thing you know, you're caring about a job. And the next thing you know, you're caring for your own children. And you better get married first. I'll skip that part. Amen. But anyway, and then the next thing you know, beloved, listen. You've got grandchildren on the way, and the next thing you know, you're caring for your spouse, your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters. There's just a whole lot in this world that brings trouble rushing in, amen? And Job said it would be that way. But let me give you this three things this morning that will help you and will provide strength in the time of trouble. The first thing I want to share with you is a right perspective. I believe when trouble comes sometimes that men and women, boys and girls, they get out of sorts because they're not looking at things from the right perspective. I want to say this to you. The right perspective will always be found in the right book. Amen. If you're not looking in the right book, you'll never find the right perspective in that time of trouble and find strength in the time of trouble. One of the things that God brought to my mind when he was preparing my heart to preach this was over there where I'm not going to go there and read it, but I believe it's over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. The Apostle Paul had that thorn in the flesh. And he got before God and he besought the Lord three times that he might remove it. And God said, I'm not taking it. I'm paraphrasing now. I'm not going to remove the thorn, Paul, but I tell you what I'm going to do. My grace will be sufficient for thee. Amen. And then Paul said, most gladly, he said something that most of us have never learned to say. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, God told Paul, it's in your weakness that my strength is made perfect. That's not a perspective that this world knows anything about. Amen. The world thinks if you're strong, you're strong, and if you're weak, you're weak. But God said, I see my children, and I know when they're weak, and I know when they can't help themselves. And honey, that's when there's strength available at the fountain of the Lord. Amen. And the throne of grace. The Bible says here in verse number 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. See, if you don't have the right perspective, you look around and you see people that's living in sin and living a wicked life, and you think, Lord, they're getting along better than I am. How come, Lord, they ain't having no problems paying the bills? How come they don't have any sickness? How come their children aren't rebelling? Is anybody with me this morning? I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, if you're going to have strength in the time of trouble, you've got to look at this thing the way God's looking at this thing. And if you don't learn to do that, beloved, you'll go under, amen? The waves of trouble will roll, and you'll go under the waves. But if you could just realize when the waves of trouble are over our head, they're still under His feet, amen? He knows what we need. And He'll come through on our behalf. The right perspective. You can look at verse 1 and 2. Verse 2 said, they'll soon be cut down. See, that's what you don't realize as a child of God. The wicked are soon going to be cut down. Just like the flower. Just like we're fixing to cut grass here in the spring. And they're going to fade away. Amen. Let me tell you something about God's people. We had two men of God up there on the screen. They're not fading away. They're just going away to a place called home. Say amen. This world was never their home. Never would have been their home. They just went home the other day. It's all they did. Because they had the right perspective. The Word of God said in verse 7, the latter part, the Bible said, because of the wicked man that bringeth wicked devices, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You can look down at verse number 16 and verse number 17. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. You know what people do? They don't have the right perspective. They'll look over and see that wicked man and see the riches that he's got. And they'll say, I wish I was like him. I'm going to tell you something right now. I wouldn't trade Jesus. I wouldn't trade the joy that's in my heart. I wouldn't trade knowing that I'm going to heaven for everything this world's got. Amen. I wouldn't do it. Amen. But people don't have the right perspective sometimes in life. And they don't understand, beloved. Yeah, the wicked may look like they're getting along good. But watch this now. The Bible said in verse number 13, for the Lord shall laugh at him. For he seeth, this is something God's people forget. He might be wicked. It might look like he's getting by with it. But let me tell you something. His day is coming. Mark her down, beloved. Let me just say this to all of us. Saint or sinner, all of us, his day is coming. I'm not going to stand before God and answer for Miss Eve. And Miss Eve's not going to stand before God and answer for me. I'm not going to stand before God, Brother Jason, and answer for Brother Jason. And I'm not going to answer for Brother Chris. I'm not going to answer for Brother Don. But every one of us is going to stand before God and answer for the life that we've lived for Him. Beloved, I'll tell you, God said He would know that their day is coming. He would laugh at him. I'll never forget reading in the book of Proverbs, I will mock when their fear cometh. That's what God said. I'll laugh at their calamity. You see, to this world, beloved, they laugh at us. They call us things like Bible thumpers. Let me do this just in case somebody's looking. Amen. That's what they call us, Bible thumpers. And they say, Brother Dale, they say you can't have no young people unless you get with a rock concert, smoke coming out of the stage and all that mess. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'd rather have two or three youngins that love God than 2,000 or 3,000 that's just putting on a show and pumping up the flesh. The right perspective. If we're going to have strength in the time of trouble, we've got to have the right perspective. And that comes from God's holy word. In verse number 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. You say, Pastor, do you believe that's right? I know it is. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, people, when they look at a Christian's life, will either want what they've got or they'll want to get rid of what they got. Say amen. Amen. We're in the way of this world's program. Amen. We're in the way. But God's fixing to take His young'uns out of the way. Verse 38, the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. That's enough about that. But I'm just telling you this. If we're going to find strength in the time of trouble, we've got to have the right perspective. Another verse just came back to my mind where Paul said, let me get it here in a minute. Though we look not at the things which are seen, he said, the inward man, the outward man perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. I'll tell you who the happy Christians are. They've got their eyes above the clouds. Amen. And they see beyond this world and what God has promised to them that love Him. Secondly, not only if we're going to have strength in the time of trouble, do we need the right perspective, but there needs to be in our life a revered person. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, it's kind of simple. He's the Lord. Amen. I'm talking about somebody that reveres Him, reverences God. Our Father, which art in heaven, what's it say? Hallowed be thy name. What it say over there, Brother Michael? You use it when you pray, and I love it. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Honey, He just as holy as He ever has been. He'll never be anything but holy. And He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Where are we going to find strength in the time of trouble? Look with me, if you will, at verse number 3. The Bible said, trust in the Lord. That's how it all starts. You've got to trust in the Lord. He's got to mean more to you than anything in this world. Amen. There's got to be a time in your life when you get tired of sin, you get tired of the guilt, and you put your trust in the Lord. You're not trusting in a church. You're not trusting in a preacher. You're not trusting in mama. You're not trusting in daddy, but you're trusting in the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Not only does a sinner need to trust in the Lord, but God's people need to trust in the Lord. The disciples walked with Jesus. They only asked Him for two things. They said, Lord, increase our faith and teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. I'm going to tell you something right now, child of God. It's not over when we get saved. It just started. Amen. God wants us to get up off that altar. He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. He wants us to walk in faith. He wants us to believe Him. He wants us to serve Him. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, that is the man, the woman, the teenager that will find strength in the time of trouble. That'll say, God, I'm in trouble, but I'm going to go on and I'm going to do what's right anyway. A lot of times trouble comes and people find that as an opportunity to go away from the house of God. But I'm telling you, beloved, you better hang in there because your strength is not going to be found out there. Your strength is going to be found in the Lord. Amen. There's a revered person. The Word of God said, trust in the Lord. Watch this now. When you trust in the Lord, look at verse 4. It said, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I've often, when I think of the word delight, I think of a meal. I mean, I think of a salad, and I have to be in the mood to eat salad. My boy won't eat salad. You can offer him a salad. He'll say, Dad, salad is what food eats. You'll get that after a while, amen. Hey, that's what food eats. But you know what? I could sit down at that meal, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't delight in the salad. I just eat it. It's good for you. Amen. I don't delight in the meat. I don't delight in the taters. I don't delight in the beans. I don't delight in the vegetables. But when you get all that done, somebody say amen. They's fixing to be some delight. I call the first part of that mood, that meal, Brother Don, I call that duty. And then when you get to the end, you can delight. You know what? I believe God wants His people to learn to delight in Him. And don't wait till you get to the end to delight in Him. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not upon thee. God wants us, beloved, not just to start the journey with Him, but He wants us to walk the journey with Him each step of the way. And we can have strength in the time of trouble. Delight in the Lord. Look at verse 23 and verse 24. The Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You say, Pastor, why are you still in the ministry? I'll tell you why. Because I've got a heavenly Father that's upheld me with his hand. Somebody say amen. You can think it's all you if you want to, but you're making a bad mistake. The God of heaven has helped us along the way. Amen. At times, we knew it, and at times, we didn't know it. But God had us in his hand and was helping us along the way. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Honoring this revered person here, the Lord Jesus, we need to trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord. Listen, the third thing I'm going to give you, I don't believe will ever come without the first two things. The order here is wonderful. God said, trust me. And then God said, delight in me. Let me tell you something. If every one of us will think back to when God saved us, and didn't nobody have to beg us to read our Bible. They didn't nobody have to beg us to go to church. They didn't nobody have to beg us to pray. Brother Grizzle, they didn't have to beg us to share a gospel tract or tell somebody what Jesus meant to us. We just had it all over us and we went telling it. Amen. And am I right or am I wrong? But you know what some of God's people do? They get over the delight. And it all becomes a duty. And you know what that'll do? It'll turn a smile into a frown. Now, I'm not in church because I want to be, but I'm in church because I'm expected to be. God help us if that's our attitude. Amen. You know what we ought to be saying this morning? I'm in the house of God because I get to be, Brother Micah. Hallelujah. Amen. I got enough strength and enough health and enough mind to get to the house of God and meet with God's people. We get to do what we do for the Lord and delight in it. Look at the next thing with me. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Then the Word of God said in verse number 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Brother Ralph from time to time will lead us in a song, in the invitation. The title of the song is I Surrender All. I'll never forget it. Years ago. I can't remember who said it. I was in a conference somewhere, a meeting somewhere, and there was a preacher preaching. He said, I want to tell y'all something. He said, there's more lies told behind songbooks than anywhere else in the world. He said, we get up and sing, I surrender all, knowing good and well we ain't surrendered. We're not committed to the Lord. We get up and sing, victory in Jesus, knowing good and well it's been decades since we had victory. Is anybody following me? Amen. Say amen. Amen. I'm telling you there's an order. God said, if you'll trust me, and he said, if you'll delight in me, next thing you're going to want to do is just go all in. Just commit it. Commit our life to the Lord. Amen. Let me say this to you. You already belong to him. You can't change that. If you've been saved, you've been bought with a price. Amen. The Bible said, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I believe it's important this morning that we trust him, that we learn to delight in him, and that we commit our way unto the Lord. But then, this is the great part. Brother Don, you're weak. I know you are, brother. But I'm going to get me an amen out of Brother Don right here. A man that will trust, a man that will delight, and a man that'll commit, that man can rest.
Amen.
Well, look at it. It said in verse number 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do you understand this morning, beloved? Listen, Do you understand that this world is looking for rest in all the wrong places? Amen. They're tore out of the frame. They need strength in the time of trouble. And they're looking for it here and they're looking for it there. But God said, if you'll just trust me, He said, if you'll just delight in me, if you will just commit your way unto me, you can rest in me. You can rest in the Lord. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you something. What did He say? I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, this is not easy. But I believe one of the reasons Paul could say, thanks be to God, which always, it didn't always look like Paul was winning, but he said even when it didn't look like I was winning, always causes me to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. How could a man say that, Brother Grizzle? He trusting. He was delighting. He was committed. And he was resting. I believe when you went down to the Philippian jail, you remember that night? You go down there and there's Paul and Silas. I'll tell you, the average Baptist would have had the mully grubs. They'd have laid their guitar aside and said, how are we going to sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How are we going to sing it in prison? Not old Paul. Not old Silas. I believe they had a midnight prayer meeting down there. And you know what happened? A lot of people look over this phrase. It said, and the prisoners heard them. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen, somebody's hearing your life too. Somebody's reading your book. We're known and read. We're living epistles known and read of all men. They're reading your book. Does your book say trust? Does your book say delight? Does your book say commit? Does your book say I'm resting in the Lord? I believe it's important, don't you? Every one of us wants strength in the time of trouble. But let me tell you something I found out about God's way. Listen to me carefully right here. There are no shortcuts. There are no corners that you cut. Amen. We either do it God's way or we won't experience God's blessing. Them old boys that built that new cart and put the Ark of the Covenant on it, they thought they was doing the right thing. But you know, when Uzzah, he thought he was doing the right thing. When he reached up there and steadied that cart, he didn't want that thing to fall off. And he reached up there and steadied the Ark. He thought he was doing the right thing. He fell dead. God wanted them to know it's important to do what I told you to do, how I told you to do it. And a lot of people have forgotten that, beloved. It's not just important to do the right thing. We got to do what God said to do. See, that thing had eyelets in it. They were to carry it on staves. You say, Pastor, why was the Ark of the Covenant to be carried like that? There wasn't no connection to this earth. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, it would have never happened if they would have just did what God said, God's way. And so this morning in the message, we're talking about strength in the time of trouble. I believe it's important to have the right perspective. I believe it's important that we understand and have this revered person, that we reverence the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. But the third thing I want to give you, and I'm done with this, is we can see a real provision. In other words, beloved, listen, God provides. When you are in trouble, you know what you need to do? You need to understand that God provides. Remember when the children of Israel were backed up against the Red Sea? You know what God did? He provided. The Bible said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When it looked like there was no way out. How many's ever been in a place in your life when it looked like there was no way out? And here come the Lord. Amen. And He makes, I love that song. The line in the song said, He makes a way where there is no way. I love it. Amen. Thank God. Watch this now. Just three things hurriedly. The real provision that God is blessed for. He provides salvation. Look at verse 39, the first part of the verse. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. God provides salvation, and it's God that provides the strength that we need in the time of trouble. The second thing I'll call your attention to in the chapter, look at verse 18 and 19. The Bible said, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." You know what that means? That means it might get low and we might be in trouble, but God will provide. He's going to satisfy. Oh, you say, "Pastor, does it get better than that?" I don't know that it's better, but let's just look on. Look at verse 25 and 26. The Bible said, this is David. He said, "I've been young." I can associate with that, or that's not the right word, but anyway, I know what you're talking about, David. I have identified with that. "I have been young, and now am old." Boy, you missed an opportunity to say amen right there. Amen. I'm glad you did. That's one time, Brother Don, I was glad they're sleeping. Amen. Amen. I figured I'd get it out of my teenagers anyway. Amen. Amen. Watch this now. Look here. Verse 25. "I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Brother Don, Miss Eve and I didn't always have what we have now. And I'm telling you, they say on the news, they use a phrase, "once in a while, paycheck to paycheck." Honey, there have been times in our life it wasn't even paycheck to paycheck. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Maybe if you don't know it yourself, maybe you watch Mom and Dad. Amen. The bank wasn't full, and the cupboard wasn't full, and the cars wasn't running, all that stuff. It just one problem after another. You say, "Pastor, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say God provides not only salvation, not only strength, but He provides substance for those of us that love Him. I'll tell this story, and I'll try to hurry right on. My grandpa, years ago, was called to preach. I like to include this because some people say I don't believe that. That's okay. I know it's a fact. Grandpa was in the corn crib and God was dealing with him to preach. And Brother Jason, he couldn't read. And God was dealing with him to preach. Up until that time, my mama, my granny, I called her granny and him grandpa. Granny read him the Bible. They sat at the kitchen table and granny read him the Bible. And he told God in the corn crib, praying. He said, "God, if I'm going to preach, I'm going to have to be able to read." And guess what he done? He started reading the Word of God. When I was a teenager, Brother Jason, my grandpa would mention a fellow in the Bible called Noe. And I thought, that poor, ignorant, old man don't even know who Noah was. I remember getting saved, Brother Larry, reading my Bible, and over in the New Testament, God spelled it N-O-E. Just like He says Esaias, referring to Isaiah, He said Noe. And I remember weeping, Brother Don, thinking Grandpa was a lot smarter than I thought he was. Amen. I just want you to know, beloved, that same Grandpa of mine, he told us about pulling his britchy legs up, rolling them up to his knees, taking his shoes and his socks off, and to go preach, he was fording the river. You know what that means. You get in the shallow part. It was river rock. Back then, people had enough sense not to throw their beer bottles in the river. Yeah, that's free. Amen. But anyway, and he'd wade across the river and take his handkerchief out, wipe his feet off, put his socks back on, put his shoes on, roll the britchy leg down, go on and preach. He began to pray, Brother Don. "God, how long? How long?" That's what I preached at Brother Fred's funeral last week. Those two words, "how long?" That's the last one of the last things he said. He pointed up towards heaven and said, "How long? How long? How long, Lord?" He said, "I don't mind doing it, Lord, but how long?" Saturday morning. I don't know if it was a Model A or a Model T. I can't remember that. It was one of them. It was one of them old Fords. Two businessmen drove up my grandpa's driveway, knocked on the front door, and said, "John, we don't know why we're doing this, Here's the keys. The tags is on it. And the insurance is paid. You say, Pastor, I don't believe them stories. That's one of the things wrong with this generation. You know what happened? My God provided for a man that trusted and committed and delighted and committed and rested in the Lord. I remember another time, my grandpa didn't like beef, any kind, hamburger. He didn't like a steak, but pork, honey, he loved pork, amen. Granny cooked breakfast that morning and said, honey, said, that's the last of the meat. Grandpa went out and went down, and he was going somewhere in that old car and said he looked there, and there laying in the seat was a big old ham. Somebody just brought it and put it in the seat of the car. Didn't want to be acknowledged. By the way, beloved, we need to learn that. Say amen. Just do something for God and let God get the glory. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. The Bible's teaching us right here, if we want strength in the time of trouble, there needs to be a right perspective. There needs to be a revered person in our life. But I tell you, if there is, there will be a real provision. God will provide for His own. And then He provides for us the Scripture. Look at verse 30 and 31. I'm done. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Ain't that good? I said, ain't that good? Might not be good English, but it's good preaching. Ain't that good? That's good, ain't it? Amen. Our God will provide. I'm telling you, beloved, as a pastor, I'm thrilled with what God's doing in our church. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't be thrilled. Well, I am. You know what I see? I see God meeting needs. You know what I see? I see people stepping up. You know what I see? I see the hand of the Lord in families. You know what I see? I see a sincerity about serving God in these days. Amen. And it blesses my heart. You see, I have a choice whether I want to dwell on the negative or dwell on the positive. Just leave me alone. I'm going to dwell on the positive. Amen. And hope that God will use us. Amen. Whatever time we've got left in this world. Strength in the time of trouble. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you, God, for your blessings. Thank you for your people. I pray, oh God, this morning that you would help us. Help us today, Lord, to hear from heaven. Help us to be obedient. Maybe somebody needs to trust Jesus. Maybe somebody that's been saved needs to learn to delight in the Lord and commit their way to the Lord, to rest in the Lord. Help us today, we pray.